We're going to return now to the prophecy of Daniel, back to the book of Daniel. We're reading this morning Daniel chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Daniel 6, verses 19 through 24, we discover that King Darius, the great emperor, the ruler of the world, has just had the worst night's sleep in his life. A dreadful, awful, no good, terrible night's sleep. The king is he's fretting over his stupidity because he allowed himself to be manipulated by certain jealous leaders in his court. And he's thinking to himself, that was dumb. If you've ever lain awake thinking about things you've done and saying that was dumb, well, you may be able to identify with King Darius, but he's also fretting over the consequences of the dumb thing that he did, because a righteous man against whom no just charge could be brought, a righteous man is now facing death in a den of lions. Worse still, the righteous man is his own friend, Daniel. And we can only guess at the awfulness of the night the king spent longing for day and yet dreading the dawn and what the dawn might bring. Darius is in a dark place. And I want you to listen. Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. This is the word of our God. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this account, a familiar account, and yet we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, might come among us this morning and would unfold this before us so that we might marvel afresh at your delivering grace. And here we are as individuals who need your delivering grace, who need to be assured of the presence of our God with us. And so we ask that these might not be words that would fall to the ground. We pray that these would be words that would penetrate our hearts, that we might find comfort, that we might find hope, that we might meet Jesus, and that in him we might have life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what do you have in your basement? Now, I'm not asking about the stuff that you've packed away down there, the stuff that you've put in storage. I'm talking about the other things that are down there in your basement. Maybe spiders? Creepy crawl, maybe sprickets, jumpity leggy kind of things that really they startle you. And maybe you've stood at the door at the top of the stairs down into the basement and thought, I'm not sure if I want to go down there. Maybe there have even been sightings of mice down there. You're really just, I don't know if I want to go down there. I wish someone would at least come with me. I'd really prefer if someone would kind of go on ahead of me down into that scary place populated by scary creatures. Now, we don't know if King Darius had sprickets or spiders or mice in his basement, but we discover he had lions in his basement. And you might wonder, what in the world would the emperor want with lions in his basement? Well, in Daniel chapter 6, we discover that one useful purpose of having lions in your basement is you can use them to deal with people who have broken your law. And you can use them to deal with people who have offended you. Of course, we're not talking about a basement like you or I might have in our homes where, well, we talk about the lion's den, don't we? It was probably a kind of a pit, and there the lions are down in that pit, so we can imagine a kind of dark place with an opening at the top where you might listen in and hear snuffles and grunts, and where you might perhaps see eyes glinting back at you. And of course, that hole is useful for dropping in food or people who've offended you or broken your laws. And King Darius had, he had lions down there, and we discover that Daniel goes in there. We discover King Darius in chapter, at the end of chapter 6, verse 18, we discover Darius spending a sleepless night. Darius is alarmed and concerned. Darius is not the one who's afraid of what's down there in the what's down there in his basement. Darius is the one who is concerned about what he has done. The foolish act that he has committed, the injustice that he has perpetrated, the wrong that he has done that has resulted in Daniel being thrown into that den of lions, down into the basement where the lions are to be found. And we're told in verse 18 that sleep fled from Darius. He spent a miserable, wretched, sleepless night. And he wasn't the one who was in the pit. And we wonder what in the world is going on. And Darius is someone who finds himself in a dark and frightening place, a fearful place because of what he has done. He's in a dark and worrisome place. And you or I might not find ourselves, as was Darius, in the imperial bedchamber, nor might we find ourselves, as was Daniel, in the den of lions, but you or I sometimes, like Darius, find ourselves in dark, dark, disturbing, alarming places where we are frightened, where we wish we could have the assurance that someone is with us to deal with the situations that confront us. And this morning, as we come to this particular passage of God's Word, we discover that here is Daniel trusting in God in his dark place, and God delivered him. And yes, the king who doesn't have confidence in Daniel's God, the king has a night in which his sleep is disturbed and deeply troubled. This question arises immediately. Do you have a God that you can trust in the dark places? Do you have a God whom you can trust to be present with you in the places where you're frightened, where you're agitated, where you're in distress, or maybe where you're grappling with the reality and the consequences of your own sin? We want to look at our verses this morning, and here's how we're going to break them out. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. And we're going to discover that there is a God who is able to deliver. A God who's able to deliver. And then in verses 21 through 23, we'll look at Daniel, the one who trusted in that God. And then, well, briefly, we'll look at verse 24, which is almost a footnote to the account, but it describes the enemies of Daniel who perished. So we're looking at God, we're looking at Daniel, we're looking at the enemies of Daniel. And, well, the first question is the question that King Darius asks: is God able to deliver? Is God able to deliver? The suspense is absolutely unbearable. Darius spends a whole night tossing and turning in anguish because he doesn't know what's going on in the den of lions. He doesn't know what's happening, and he's wrestling with the consequences of his part in it. He is in turmoil. We're told that he had no appetite because of what he's done, the situation he's got into. His appetite has gone. Sleep has fled. It is a sleepless night. We're told that he wanted no entertainment. This is a man who could command the very best that the empire could provide for him. And in the face of what he has done, in the face of the situation that, into which he has put Daniel, he is so utterly distressed that all of those other things lose their luster and lose their appeal. It is that serious. You've probably dealt with situations that have pressed in powerfully on you where you've said, this is bad. This is bad. What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get out of this? The question that Darius asks, the question and that's described at the end of verse 20 is, has Daniel's God, the God whom Daniel serves continually, has that God the power to deliver Daniel from the lions? Is Daniel's God able to deliver Daniel from the lions? And of course, the king asks that question as someone who's got a deeply troubled conscience, because he, the king, knows that it's his fault that Daniel is in there. It's his folly, it's his stupidity, it's his willingness to be manipulated, the way he gave way to his pride, and now Daniel is there facing the lions. The king is deeply disturbed and distressed. Matthew Henry says that one of the best ways to get a good night's sleep is to have a good conscience. And Darius didn't have a good conscience about this. But of course, that's not the only reason we might have our sleep troubled. Yes, we may have a troubled conscience, but there are other things that keep us awake as well at night. You can think of those who are facing situations where there is cause for anxiety, where there is uncertainty. Even when we've got a clear conscience, we can ask that question, is God able to deal with this particular situation? The book of Daniel was a book that would first have been read by God's people as they found themselves oppressed by powers that were hostile to them. And a question in their minds would be, is God able to deliver us from the powers that oppress us, the powers that be? Can God deliver us from that? So they want to discover what kind of God Daniel has. Is Daniel's God able to deliver? You might think of Christians in our own day who find themselves facing persecution, who find themselves facing oppression and difficulty. Is God able to deliver? Or you might think of other situations in which we find ourselves. Peter tells us that the devil, remember Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, the devil goes about like a roaring lion. He comes up against us to tempt us. He comes against us to discourage us. He comes up against us with his accusations. He is out there like a roaring lion. Does God have anything to say in the face of those kinds of threats, or the threats that play out when other people are antagonistic? The psalmist in Psalm 57, who says, my soul is in the midst of lions, ruthless people whose tongues are like sharp swords. Maybe you've experienced that. The people who speak, who slander, the people who are malicious, the people who argue, the people who provoke, the people who annoy. And you feel like your soul is surrounded by lions. Or the one in Psalm 22, verse 13, who speaks of those who open wide their mouths. They are like ravening and roaring lions. They seem so powerful, so threatening, so menacing. Is God able to deliver from the likes of that? And of course, we recognize, even as we refer to the 22nd Psalm, we recognize in that messianic psalm a description of the Lord Jesus, the one who found himself hanging on a cross, surrounded by those roaring and ravenous lions, the agents of death and destruction and hopelessness and fear and brutality. You and I live in a world in which life is cheap. You and I live in a world in which there is an abundance of brutality. You and I live in a world that is racked by violence. You and I live in a world in which there are all kinds of injustices, all kinds of abuses committed. The roaring, ravening lions that Psalm 22 pictures are a reality in our experience of our own days. We wonder, can God deliver from that? We've got Darius coming down to the basement with that question on his lips. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel, servant of the living God. How remarkable that Darius, a pagan, should refer to Daniel's God as the living God. It's a term that's used in Scripture in a number of places to describe God. Someone has gathered those together and said when God's referred to as the living God, it alludes firstly to the fact that God is a God who is alive. It alludes to the fact that God is a God who gives life. And in the third place, it alludes to a God who is constantly, continuously active and at work. What a God that is. And Daniel had a God like that, and Darius wondered what a God like that was able to accomplish. It is a confidence-inspiring truth to know that our God is the living God. When Joshua led the people of Israel up into the land of promise, God who led his people against their enemies is a God described as the living God. Or you remember David contemplating the pending conflict with the giant Philistine, with Goliath, and David speaking to King Saul in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 35, and saying, "Your Majesty, your servant has fought and slain the lion and the bear. Will I not be able to prevail over this Philistine who defies the living God?" See what David's saying? David recognizes that that Goliath is defying the living God, and in the face of that, David has a strong confidence. Is God able? And we have Darius going down to the basement, down to the mouth of the pit in which the lions are found, and asking that question, has your God? And you can just imagine the suspense, the apprehension, the anguish that the writer speaks of, the anguish. Has God been able to do that? And then verse 21, the voice from the other side, the voice from the darkness. Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." Is God able to deliver? Darius came down to that pit, down to the basement, down to where the lions were, and Darius was expecting to find death there. And there, instead of death, there was life. Instead of the dead remains of Daniel, there was a Daniel who was very much alive. Can you imagine the relief that must have flooded Darius when he realized that Daniel was alive? Or as Darius went rushing down there first thing in the morning, the royal hair uncombed, the royal regalia, whatever royal pajamas or what, just kind of, and the royal nightgown kind of wrapped or tossed on, thrown on, and tearing, no pomp, no ceremony, no regal posture here, just a man in distress coming down. Daniel, is your God able? God was able. And then we think of Matthew chapter 28, some others first thing in the morning going to another pit, going to a tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid a couple of days previously, and they're expecting to find death. They're expecting a place of death. They're expecting all the evidence that Jesus has been finally and completely defeated and done away with. And to their joy and amazement, they discover that there is not death, but life. Jesus is risen. God is able to deliver. Jesus has gone into the deepest and darkest of pits, not just the grave into which he went, but the misery he endured, the anguish that he sustained, the suffering that he underwent, the lions with open mouths who taunted, who sought to destroy him, who abused, who broke his body, who shed his blood, who did him to death, who seemed to have the upper hand. And in the end, Jesus was not there because Jesus has risen. That is the God of the Bible. That's the God whom the Christian is able to say is my God. Did you notice Darius' words? Daniel is your God whom you serve continually. Your God. You see, this was Daniel's God, and Darius wasn't able to acknowledge this as his God. It's good for us to ask ourselves this morning, do I have this God as my God? Daniel served that God continuously. He served God in times of prosperity, and he served God in times of adversity because he trusted in his God. And he knew that come what may, his God would be able to care for him, protect him, and provide for him. What a testimony Daniel has. Look at verses 21 and the couple of verses following to hear Daniel's testimony. Verse 21, Daniel said to the king, "Live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me." God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Now, what's very striking to me is that there's a whole night there. And really, we're given kind of more of a description of Darius' night, that sleepless night with no appetite for food and no interest in entertainment, the anguish. We're really told more about what Darius went through than what Daniel went through. And we'd love to know more about what went on down in the basement, down in the pit, down in the dark place where Daniel was facing the lions. I'd really like to know how that all played out. And the Holy Spirit, who directs, who oversees the writing of Scripture, the Holy Spirit has withheld that from us. What the Holy Spirit wants us to know is that God was able to deliver Daniel. You see, if you're like me, you want to know how God's going to get you out of the pit. If you're like me, you want to know when he's going to do it. If you're like me, you'd really like at least some inkling or some suggestion some clue as to how this is all going to play out, or some glimmer of assurance that it's going to work out this way. And if you're like me, you're going to be wondering, has God thought about all the contingencies and eventualities? But you see, the Holy Spirit draws a veil over how precisely God works. What we need to know is that God was able to deliver Daniel in that dark and menacing place. That's what we're told. God was able to deliver Daniel. Verse 23, the end of the verse, when Daniel was taken up out of the den, no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. He was brought out of the den. And yes, of course, we talk about Daniel and the lions in the lion's den. Boys and girls, you've been reading about Daniel and the lion's den right from the first time mommy and daddy started to read Bible stories to you. Daniel's in the lion's den, and the mommies and daddies think of Daniel as being in the lion's den. And we kind of think of the zoo, the cage with the lions in it. But yes, it's a pit. It's a hole in the ground with lions down they're in it. It's a place like a grave. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of death. It's the and Daniel is brought in safety out of that pit, out of that place of death. You know, what you and I need to know and what you and I need to recognize is that our God is a God who delivers from the pit. God delivers his people from their pits of distress. He delivers us from the pit of condemnation into which our sin puts us. He delivers us from that. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, John has in his vision sees a great multitude of people, a huge host of people for every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. It's a multitude that boggles the mind, and there they are. They are singing, they're celebrating, they are the picture of health and happiness. And the question is asked, who are these? Who are these ones? And the answer is given, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, the great trial, the great ordeal of living in a world that is shot through with the effects of sin, the things that you and I deal with, the injustices that beset us from without, the sins that we grapple with within, the realities of sickness, pain, suffering, and death, the great tribulation. Isn't it marvelous that when the scriptures speak of the world in which we live, it's not described in terms of a paradise, because we would laugh at that, wouldn't we? I'm guessing that you've not felt that you were in paradise this last week. I'm guessing that your experience is not one of paradise. Much easier for us to say the experience I'm having is one of great tribulation. You might be able to pinpoint the specifics of what that looks like. The person who's mistreating you in the workplace, the family member who shuns you because you're a follower of Jesus, the pain that you suffer because you live in a mortal human body, the temptations that you grapple with day in and day out, the struggles that we have with discouragement and despondency, and our souls are constantly grappling. And this picture, these ones, they're delivered from that. Why? Because they have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. They're the ones who trusted in Jesus. And because they trusted in Jesus, they have come through. Daniel, what is it we're told in verse 23? Daniel was found with no kind of harm on him, not a mark, because he had trusted in his God. Now, let's just take a moment and think about that. Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know whether the lions would be stayed from devouring him or not. He didn't know if God would send an angel or not. He didn't know if God would intervene. But Daniel trusted God. He trusted God. John Calvin says that Daniel knew his happiness consisted of persisting in the worship of the true God. And that is a very practical observation that we do well to learn from. Our happiness consists of persisting in the worship of God. As you're dealing with your part of your experience, your portion of the tribulation, as you deal with your experience of the pit, as you deal with your encounter with the lions, keep on worshiping God. That's why it's so important for you to simply be in worship. Keep your eyes focused on God. You may have had a horrible week. You may have been mistreated. You may have been misunderstood. You may have suffered all kinds of wrongs. Keep on worshiping God. Keep your eyes fixed on God. Daniel trusted God when he was down there among the lions. He served God continually. He served him in all kinds of situations. And of course, we know that a greater than Daniel has come. We remember those ones that are described as the roaring and ravening lions who open their mouths wide. And in Matthew chapter 27, we're allowed to hear what they're saying. Verse 43 of Matthew 27, they're saying, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him if he wants him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him. Of course, they're addressing the Lord Jesus, and Jesus was delivered. He was delivered through death. There was death. He went into the pit, but there is resurrection. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and we are raised with him. Remember those of us who were present in the adult Sunday school class this morning, looking at Romans chapter 6 and Paul's reminder that we are in Christ Jesus. We have died with Jesus. We are risen again in the Lord Jesus. Our baptism that speaks to us, if you're here this morning as someone who has been baptized, as you trust in Jesus, you remember that your baptism assures you that you, as it were, have been in the pit with Jesus, but in Jesus you are raised again to newness of life. In Jesus Christ you have life. There is no condemnation, says Paul in Romans 8 verse 1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are delivered from the pit. God is able to deliver us from the consequences of our sin as we trust in him. How very interesting that as Darius comes to speak to Daniel, he addresses. Remember, Daniel has been given a Babylonian name. Daniel's—he's in his 80s, and his Babylonian colleagues for the last 70 years or so have been calling him not Daniel but Belshazzar. Belshazzar, meaning Bel, that's one of the prominent gods in the Babylonian pantheon. Bel will protect. Very interesting that when Darius addresses Daniel, that name must have stuck in his throat because he doesn't call him that name. He calls him Daniel. What does Daniel mean? Daniel means God will judge. And God looked on Daniel as someone who trusted in him. And because of that trust in him, Daniel was liberated from death. There's the gospel. It is as we trust in God. God looks on us and sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We're clothed in a righteousness so that there is no condemnation, so that we have confidence before God. God is the God to whom we cry out, O Lord, save! Hosanna! And he is the God who saves powerfully in the person of the Lord Jesus. Let's just look quickly at these foes, because maybe we're wondering if these are these dead lions? Or did the lions get too much dinner the day before? Or maybe the lions are a bit unwell, and maybe there's a problem with the lions. Well, verse 24 tells us that there was nothing wrong with the lions, because the ones who had conspired to have Daniel unjustly fed to the lions, they were thrown in there, and before they hit the ground, the lions had pounced on them. Oh, it's a punishment that fits the crime. There's always a punishment that fits the crime. And they desired for Daniel to go unjustly to the lions, and now we find them justly being thrown to the lions. The plan that they had for Daniel was a plan that rebounded on their own heads. Yes, we see that. But there's some other things that we need to notice. There's reassurance for us here. In this, isn't there? There's reassurance. Justice gets done. We live in a world where there's much injustice, and sometimes we're like the psalmist. We cry out, "How long? How long, O Lord? How long will this go on?" God is a just judge. In the end, justice will fully be done. That's important for us to remember if we're living in defiance of God, because now is the day of salvation. It's time for us to make our peace with God, because our God is a just God. And even though justice might seem to tarry, it comes in the end. God is just. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, Paul says, God catches the wise in their craftiness. They were crafty. They were schemers. But God outwitted them. That's what God does. You can't outwit God. So there's some reassurance here, but there's also some perspective as well. There's perspective, because remember what we've already seen in Daniel chapter 6. We're reminded that this is a glimpse into a cosmic conflict. This is part of a much bigger picture. In verse 6, in verse 11, verse 15, we've seen Daniel's enemies coming with one accord. And the little footnote that says, they came thronging. And then we noticed how that word is the word that's used in Psalm 2, verse 1, to speak of how the enemies of God and his people plot together and plot together in vain. Here is the conspiracy thwarted. The plotting is in vain. God is at work in a fallen world to undo the scheming of the devil. He's at work to overthrow the forces of darkness. As Sinclair Ferguson said, the deliverance of Eve's seed is always accompanied by the bruising of the head of the serpent. Christ delivers those who are subject to lifelong fear of death by destroying the one who has the power of death. Jesus has destroyed the one who has the power of death. And of course, yes, there's also hope, isn't there? Because that same psalm that speaks of those who plot and scheme in vain, that psalm invites those schemers to make their peace with God. Verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. There's the invitation, you see, that as you make your peace with the Lord Jesus, as by faith you embrace the Lord Jesus, then there is life in the place of death. And you join those of God's people, Daniel and so many, many others down through the years who have discovered that God goes with us and God goes before us into the dark places. He's the good shepherd who walks with us through the dark valleys. He is the one who is the light of life. We follow him and enjoy his light and his comfort. We have his presence as our portion as we encounter trials, knowing that he is well able to deliver his people. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. We pray that you would help us understand these things of which we have spoken here this morning. We pray that your word would find its place in our hearts, that we would trust in Jesus, and that we would have life in him. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.